Good morning, everyone. You've done a lot of standing. I'm going to have you stand one more time. We're going to become a ritualistic church around here. Sit, stand, sit. All right? Take your bulletins and stand together. Let's read from Psalm 36, verses 1 through 4. The title of our message today is The Danger of Leaving Off. Ready? An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good, and he does not abhor evil. You may be seated. This is David's description of what we've been covering in Sunday school, the doctrine of the reprobate, the wicked, the person who is set on himself, filled with his own self-centeredness and wicked ways, does not do good, and continually departs from the way of righteousness. This text is used by Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 3. Also, a description of the wicked in Romans 1 and 2 as well, that God gives them over to a depraved or reprobate mind. I'm going to do something I normally don't do, and that is take an expression out of this text and apply it to a topical message entitled The Danger of Leaving Off. Having set the context, it's dealing with the unconverted. I wish to use an expression in verse 3, the latter part of it. He has ceased to be wise and do good. I wish to apply it as words of warning to those who profess to know the Lord. It's a wonderful thing when anyone starts out on the Christian life, begins to travel on the heavenly pathway to life hereafter. But how terribly sad it is when one who has started out gives up and appears to have no longer any interest in the things of God or fellowshipping with God's people. I certainly believe the Bible teaches that all of the elect of God shall come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that they shall persevere unto the end of their life and enter into glory. I also believe in the doctrine of perseverance. In that God's grace through the Holy Spirit starting out His work in our lives in regeneration and continues to work in our lives to assure that His people will not fall away. But I also believe that God has ordained the use of instruments, that He has been pleased through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. There's a message that must be heard, and there is a message that must be received in repentance and faith. And then I also go a step further, not because it is something that is beyond the norm, but because it is so neglected today, in that the Bible is filled with warnings, particularly the book of Hebrews, that are addressed to those who profess to know the Lord. And so the question is, why are these warnings given to those who are eternally secure? The scriptures say that the Lord knows the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows those that are His as part of the seal. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's perseverance in that. So I want to try to deal with the problems that come up and why people leave off serving Christ and go away and leave Him. The words of our verse here before us present a possibility that deterioration and degeneration may set in the life of one who at one time showed promise of becoming a true and valiant disciple of the Lord. It's a deep tragedy and a sorrow to my heart when a soul turns back. For remember what Jesus said in Luke 9:26, "He who puts his hand to the plow and turns back is not fit for the kingdom of God." The parable of the sower would also apply in this situation, that many started out, but only that which fell on good ground persevered and bore fruit. Those who start out and turn back are rarely ever happy. They may go back to their old ways and make friends again with their old companions and try to taste all that the world can offer, but deep down they are basically dissatisfied with life. So there are many people, 51 years of my ministry that I've seen, that started out so promising and yet turned back and turned away from the things of God. I want to give you several reasons why people do this. Number one, people leave off the service of Christ first from a defective start or beginning. If a man leaves off, obviously he must have made a start, for how can he give up that which he has not started in? There is, however, what we may call a defective start. This is seen in the parable of the sower. At once they received the word with joy, and then they fell away. And it's true in relation to spiritual things that there are many people who once attended the church of God and took part in some form of Christian service who were in fact never born again. John chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." There are many who profess to make a good start when in reality they were never spiritually reborn. And the Christian life is a hard life, folks. And no one can live the Christian life without a spiritual birth. And sooner or later, those that try will give it up and go back. That these that do so had a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. The reality of spirituality is lacking. They have a natural tendency to embrace something that they thought at one time would be an advantage to them. But they were lacking the spiritual birth to enable them to continue. There are many who, when they started, confessed their allegiance to Christ, but did not, in reality, ever get into the kingdom of Christ. They set out with their hand on the plow, but they turned back, and Jesus said, those kind of people are not fit for the kingdom. They're not subjects of the kingdom. They have only ever been Christians in a nominal and an outward sense, but there has never been an inward work of grace, for they have never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Secondly, people leave off because of neglect of personal devotion and corporate fellowship. Here's the reason why many lose out spiritually. They start out well in the Christian life and then they flounder. For the simple reason they do not feed, number one, on the Word of God. They neglect their Bibles. Colossians 3:16 is the exhortation, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly." And number two, they neglect the prayer life. They grow cold in their communion with God. Luke 18:1, Jesus said, I would that men everywhere ought to pray. And then they neglect assembling in the house of God, forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is in Hebrews 10:35. So that through the neglect of reading the Word, of praying, and also neglecting corporate fellowship, they flounder and fall away. They grow cold. So is it any wonder that those who neglect these means of grace break down spiritually? If we neglect food, fresh air, and exercise, we soon break down physically. And if we neglect Bible reading, prayer, and worship with the Lord's people, there is bound to be a spiritual breakdown. There's a loss of communion with Christ. Have you ever experienced a time in which that you were close with someone and that you communicated with them on a regular basis? What about those that you've gone to church with for years and years? Have you ever done that and didn't have somebody leave your fellowship? Or else, have you ever been one in which at one time that you had a close relationship with a man or a woman or a family member and then you had to move away? And you made the promise, well, I'll keep in touch. That doesn't always happen. Ever so often I get calls and letters from individuals that I used to serve as their pastor 35, 40 years ago. And when I get those notices, I have to vaguely think, Brother Bob, of what it was like back there. Because I'm no longer close with them. I've made new friends and new endeavors, and I've grown cold toward them. Not that I don't love them, it's just that I'm not communing with them on a regular basis. And one of the reasons why those who set out to serve Christ turn back is that they neglect these basic ingredients of reading the Bible, of praying, and attending the fellowship of God's people in a local church. And soon they say, I have no more desire to have any part in this. The third reason that people fall away or turn back and leave off is success, prosperity, and the temptation of the world. Over and over again, one, and I included, have seen Christians grow slack when they have got on, quote unquote, in the world. They've received a promotion on their job. They've moved into a larger house. They've bought a bigger car. The bank balance has increased. They have been prospered and have become what the world calls successful. And when this has happened, I have seen them grow cold, careless, and dull spiritually. What a tragedy this is. Love not the world nor the things that what? That are in the world. The world's allurement is very powerful, and it's easy to go on in the world's way instead of God's way. How often individuals who have been faithful in their various duties, they get a chance to get a promotion on a job, and they move from one locality to 800,000 miles away. There's no church there for them to go to. And it isn't long that I find out that they're no longer serving the things of God. The prosperity of the wicked dulls the sensation of trying to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth reason that individuals leave off and go back from serving Christ is they become overwhelmed by adversity or persecution. Tough times. Not prosperous times, but tough times. Sooner or later, every Christian will be persecuted or rejected for Christ's sake, or exposed to something that will be a deep trial to testing of their faith. They that live godly in Christ will suffer what? Persecution. All they, the text says, that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Bible clearly teaches that every Christian must be ready to expect suffering, trials, and testing. This is all part of God's permissive purpose and plan in training us and making us the people He will have us to be conformed to the image of Christ. Christ was not exempt from suffering, and neither are His people to be exempted. Sometimes when persecution becomes very fierce, or when trials and adversity becomes very severe, people flounder and they fall away and are turned aside. I still remember a lady. She was probably in her late 50s, early 60s, back when I was in Bible college and working in a service station at night. Snow was coming down, and back then it was not a self-service station. I doubt anybody under 30 years old knows what it was like to work in a service station back then. You pumped the gas for the customers. You washed the windshield. You checked the oil. You checked the tires. That was expected out of every customer, by every customer that went into the service station. This lady came in. It was snowing, cold. It was about 8:30 at night. And I filled her car up with gas and asked if she needed anything else. Said, no, I'm ready to go. And I said, could I ask you something before you leave? She said, sure. I said, are you a Christian? And my, the friendliness on her face turned very quickly. No. I said, well, what is the reason that you've never considered being a Christian? She said, I once was a Christian. I read my Bible. I tried to pray. I went to church. But she said, one day my 18-year-old son was in a car wreck and severely ill in the hospital, and I asked God to spare him, and my son died. She said, I don't trust this God anymore. I want nothing to do with Him. And that's the conversation ended as another customer pulled in and I had to go meet them. Here was an individual that left off. Started out seemingly good, but came to the conclusion that God cannot be trusted because of adversity, tribulation, and trials. Many, many countless multitudes fall into that category. Some disappointment one finds in God. The fifth reason why people turn back is that they begin indulging in some known sin. It's certain that if a Christian constantly harbors some known sin, sooner or later they will grow cold, careless, and out of fellowship with the Lord. Brother Jim, have you not seen it over and over again? A young girl is determined she's going to a Christian. Determined she's going to marry a non-Christian with the idea that she will convert that person. But now here are two individuals that have two different natures. And how can two walk together except they be agreed? And in nearly every situation that I have seen that happen is that the young girl does not lead the unconverted husband to the Lord, but the unconverted husband leads the young girl away from the things of God. Harboring some secret sin or allowing sin to come into the life and not repenting of it can bring about a dullness and a loss of communion with God. Be sure your sins will find you out. We cannot disobey God and continue in the enjoyment of His fellowship and His service while we are indulging in hidden and open sin. Sin always puts a barrier between ourselves and the Lord. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. But your sins have separated you from me, God would say. Sin always puts a barrier between ourselves and the Lord and places us in danger of leaving off. The sixth reason why individuals leave off or turn back: they become deceived by false teaching along the way. On every hand today, Satan has his ministers. Some take the form of ministers of our angels of light. Too often people think of the devil going about as a roaring lion. That is, he's easy to be identified as some witch doctor or something. And they would say, I would never succumb to be deceived by that. But Satan also takes on the form of an angel of light preaching righteousness and deceiving individuals. Someone knocks on your door and they identify themselves as a Jehovah Witness, a Seventh-day Adventist, Christian Scientist, a Mormon, on and on again. From the evidence that I have come across by those who release this evidence that make up the Mormons, the Jehovah Witnesses, and so forth, that those group, it is fairly accurate from what they are saying that almost 90% of their converts come from individuals who were once in the mainline denominations. In other words, they do not go out and convert unconverted people that were not religious, but they look for religious people who are unacquainted enough with their Bibles to speak out against their doctrines. If you want to refute a Jehovah Witness, you either shut the door or else you center the conversation on Jesus Christ, and they will not hang around very long. Whose son is he? Is he God or just a God? Be careful of being deceived by false teachings. And then seventhly, people leave off because they just plainly become discouraged. As I said earlier, the Christian life is not easy. Tribulation, trials, persecution, and just the day in and day out routine of attempting to deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's a warfare. And it's easy to become discouraged in it. Am I right? You say, Pastor, surely you don't ever become discouraged. Oh, no, not me. You know better than that. Or at least my wife does. I've probably in 51 years, 400 or 500 times, have had my resignation ready on Monday morning after preaching on Sunday. That trouble you? Just from seeing the same thing over and over again, little movement on the part of God's people, or seeing individuals come, make professions of faith, and then short time later, they're gone and you can't find them. Or else internal struggles within the church of trying to keep the sheep happy. It's easy to become to a place of discouragement and allow Satan to tempt. For remember this, discouragement comes not from God, but from Satan. It is he who raises questions in your own inner person about the goodness of God. If God really loved you, would he allow these things to be happening to you? If God really loved you, wouldn't he give you better health? Wouldn't he answer your prayers? Wouldn't he give you more stability? How can you go on and serve a God like this who doesn't stand by you in times of trouble? Again, that's a lack of understanding, and Satan uses that. Because there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, and he will with the temptation make a way of escape, or else able to bear it. And I have found that to be true, not only in my ministry, but in my Christian life as well. Don't permit Satan to plant the seeds of discouragement in your life. It may start you on a downward path to discouragement and turning away. Now, we've given you seven things that cause people to leave off and going back and ceasing to serve God or doing good. Let's deal with another question. How do people leave off? And in what way does spiritual declension take place? What do they do? What are its characteristics? Here's a couple of answers. Spiritual declension begins little by little. People don't just wake up one day and say, I'm through with the Lord. It's little by little by little, and then all it takes is the straw that breaks the camel's back, and they're gone. No one leaves off all at once. An out-and-out Christian that is faithfully serving the Lord does not suddenly say, I'm going to give it up. No, it's a gradual process. What is going on in your heart right now? Is it as warm toward the things of God and the Lord Jesus Christ as it was a year ago? 10 years ago? 30 years ago? Or has there become a coldness in that, sort of an indifference, to where very little excites you anymore? The songwriter says, all that thrills my soul is what? It's Jesus. Has the thrill left? Or do you find still an excitement when you open the Bible, when you pray, and when you attend the fellowship of God's saints? Is it a good thing? Is it a desirable thing? Or are you sitting where you're at right now and wishing, well, in about 10 minutes we're going to be out of here and I can go back to the world, back where I'm more at ease at? I hope not. I hope not. As for me and my house, we're going to what? We're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to go on. I'm going to go on. By God's grace and by His help, I put my hand to the plow and I'm not turning back. No turning back, no turning back, the song says. How do people leave off? Little by little. Secondly, people leave off by allowing it to begin in secret. It all begins in the heart, secretly and unobserved by any other human eye. I've had individuals that sit in church and regular. Brother Jim, you've probably seen it too. You older people have been in church most of your life. You've seen it as well. And then they don't show up one Sunday. Not there another Sunday. I've had individuals that have left the fellowship of the church and never did find out where they ended up at. But this one thing I have found to be true. Almost invariably, when an individual goes back that has been faithful in their attendance of church and various other things, it will be due to secret, hidden sin that has been indulged in the heart. That will become manifest openly. Be sure you're what? Your sin will find you out. You can't just cover it up. If you're practicing something, it will take you away from the things of God. I think it was Moody who said that the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. That is a truth. Little by little, and then secretly in the heart. Now suppose someone reading or hearing this message today has left off to do good and has grown cold. Can he or she make a renewed start, or is there no hope? And I want to give you encouragement. Absolutely yes. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One may renew a vow today, rededicate themselves today. I'm not calling upon a public rededication at the end of every service, but it is appropriate for a child of God ever so often to spend some time alone with God and rededicate yourself to His service. I don't press for rededications like I used to publicly, because I found out that the people that were always rededicating themselves were the ones that did it about two or three times a month. You ever been in a situation like that? It was like they were becoming like Roman Catholics going to a mass. When it came time for the invitation, why, here they would come and pray and weep and so forth, and go back, and then 2 weeks later, here they come back again, over and over again. That usually indicates there's something bad wrong at heart. And I discourage that publicly. But at the same time, if you are a professing Christian, there are going to be times, folks, in which that you are not going to be as warm and zealous toward the things of God as you were at one time before. Huh? Are we not prone to leave the very God whom we love? Yes, we are. So can we renew our vows and say, Lord, I've sinned, I'm coming home. I'm not going to wander anymore out into the fields of sin. I want to serve you like I did at one time before. And I don't want to fall off and give evidence on the day of judgment that I was just playing games with this thing of being a Christian. Do you love me, Peter? Lord, you know. Peter, you really love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you really love me? And then the scripture says Peter broke down. You know I love you, Lord. Peter failed his Lord. Is that right? Did the Lord cast him off? No. He will not cast off any of his true sheep. If you have a concern today about your relationship with the Lord, get right with the Lord right now. Let's close our eyes and close in prayer, and then we'll have a following song. Pray with me. Father, we pray today that if any are here that have grown cold and indifferent and careless, that they might look to you this hour and renew their commitment to serve you regardless of what has come into their lives. Show them your faithfulness, that you are a God who is faithful. Faithful even to your Son in his greatest hours of trial. Bless us this day, and may Christ receive the preeminence in our lives each day. I thank you for this church, for this group of people, for the fellowship and encouragement, the strength that I receive each time I have the opportunity to attend here. And I thank you for your word. Thank you for the communion with you in prayer. Thank you for the means of grace, that you're a God of all grace, and that you will not leave nor forsake us. For it's in Christ's name we express our thanks and give this petition. Amen.